We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Wednesdays around here, we do something called the Great Debate Series. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Because it is March Madness, Perloff, we had to go with a college basketball theme question for today.
Yes, I love it. What is the one thing that distinguishes college basketball from other sports? We love rooting against certain teams. I think you might in other sports, but college basketball, look at the signs in the stands. People hate certain college basketball players.
So for today, let's hit it.
The Great Debate Series.
Today's question, the biggest villain in the history of college basketball. The biggest villain, the most hated. We don't want to get personal here, but the biggest villain in college basketball. I think we're all keeping this on the men's side, by the way.
Yes. Or maybe it just works out the way. But I kind of know who people choose, and I think you have to go first, Maggie Gray, because I feel like we should go in somewhat chronological order.
Okay, here. I am happy to go first. The greatest villain in the history of college basketball is someone they made a documentary about it called I Hate Christian Laettner. It is Christian Laettner. Let's hear a little from Laettner.
Another one, Laettner. And Laettner kicks it.
Okay, that was him stepping on Aminu Timberlake. That was 1992, and that was the game against Kentucky. Now, Laettner, this is the thing about Laettner, right? Laettner is the most hated and also the best and biggest villain in college basketball for a few reasons. One, completely embraced being the villain. He did not fight this. He embraced it. He loved it. If you're going to be a great villain, you have to want to be the villain. The other part about Laettner, accomplishments. He's got the receipts to back this up in college basketball. You can't say that Laettner wasn't a great player. 1990, the buzzer beater versus UConn to go to the Final Four. 91, the free throws to beat UNLV propelled him to the final. 92, the game winner against Kentucky. He had so much arrogance and so much success. It all melded together in the perfect formula. Four Final Fours, two national championships, including back-to-back. That is why Laettner is the greatest college basketball villain and the biggest villain of all time.
Okay. I agree that everyone hated Christian Laettner. I was there for it. Yeah. I hated Christian Laettner. All right, EJ, why don't you go next?
Okay, so I'm going to go with another Dookie, but I'm going to go a little bit advanced because as much as Christian Laettner was hated, I did not watch Christian Laettner play, so I can't hate him. But I did hate one player who played for Duke, and that is one J.J. Redick, former NBA player, now podcaster with the likes of LeBron James. J.J. Redick at Duke was super annoying. And I think when I think of villains, I think there's got to be some kind of tragic part of their story. Like Christian Laettner won so much. So I think you kind of move beyond villains. When you watch most movies or TV shows, the villain eventually loses. Like Christian Laettner kept winning.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of move beyond villain status. Like the fact that J.J. Redick, he kept getting close and close and close and never got over the hump, I think does add a little bit to his villain status because he didn't eventually get it all in the end. We got to see him crying on the sidelines as he's hugging Coach K, which was a great moment for a lot of people. A lot of catharsis seeing J.J. Redick get bounced early. But J.J. was, one, super good. He was awesome his senior year at Duke. But he was so cocky. The hand signals, the waving at the crowd every time he did a three. I mean, he was as annoying as it came. A great player, but very hateable as a player. So for me, I think J.J. Redick, he's the biggest villain, in part because he actually didn't get over the hump and win a championship.
Okay, do we go to Pete Bilotti next? You want to go last, Perloff?
Actually, I want to go next because I want to follow those two. I love Christian Laettner as a choice. I think J.J. Redick was hated. But those two guys walked so my guy could fly when the villain status. Grayson Allen is easily the all-time most hated Duke player and most hated college basketball player. He's a combo of Laettner and J.J. Redick because he shot like J.J. Redick, but he was dirty like Christian Laettner. He was the full package of a college basketball villain. He had a compulsive tripping problem we all know about. I actually feel bad for him about that, but he's probably the dirtiest high-profile player we've ever seen at this level. In fact, I don't even think there's a close second. The guy, he was the number one story how he had to go to anger management and he just could not get his emotions under control. And he was also a good player like Redick. But at the end of the day, it's his mug. Just look at Grayson Allen, the name Grayson Allen and Duke, and you put it together, he's the whole package. It is as if God invented a college basketball villain and put him in a Duke jersey and named him Grayson Allen.
Father, I thought it was done purposely. But who knows? I mean, you can't read a kid's mind. But see his legs going out, and then it comes back here. No, that looks purposeful to
sure,
me.
I would agree with you, Jay. I mean, his head turns. He sees where. That's clearly intentional.
Clearly intentional. It's a good nickname.
He was really. I mean, he almost had a disorder where he couldn't stop tripping people. By the way, that dude's shooting 48% from three for the Suns right now. Really good player, ironically. He's kind of calmed down in the NBA. But in college, man, there was no one easier to hate than Grayson Allen.
All right. It is Wednesday. Great debate, which means we take something based on the news, make a big debate about it. Today, it's the greatest and biggest college basketball villains of all time. People, how do you finish it off?
Okay. I'm going to finish it off with a villain that we all know. The committee.
Oh.
They are the ultimate villains of college basketball.
That's cheating. That's too good.
They shatter dreams every year and mess with our minds every year. A bunch of men and women sitting in a boardroom deciding how people on a court should rank in a 68-field tournament. So I give my award to the committee of college basketball.
Wow, Pete, again thinking outside the box.
It's creative.
The greatest villain.
I'll be honest, of Pete's great debate choices that have been outside the box, this might be the best that was this creative.
You know, I thought he was going to say Tyler Hansbrough.
I thought he might say Bruce Bochy.
I was close on
Bochy.
But one thing, the counter argument, if you can't make it into a field of 64 or 68, I mean, are you doing anything anyway? It is a pretty darn big field there.
And then the counter to that counter is, how many times have we applauded the committee for the work they've done on the tournament?
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of like refs and offensive linemen. You know, it's like you're only talking about them when they mess up.
Right. But I think there's, in my opinion, there should be better ways to qualify for this tournament. The automatic bids, I think there should be a little more automatic bids, maybe in conferences, something like that. And leave it out of the boardroom. I like when it's decided on the court.
Oh, interesting. So if you win your conference tournament regular season, mm-hmm. you get an automatic bid. And if you win, if a different team wins the tournament?
You win the conference tournament, and then the team with the best record in the conference makes the
tournament. Yeah, but that'll knock out some of the teams you like the Big East teams that are a stronger conference.
Well,
By the way,
St. John's should not have been there. If you really think about it, they had a horrible stretch. And Seton Hall has a case, but St. John's, they had a horrible stretch, and Patino was the only reason why they were really in the mix.
Can we throw in the college football committee in with Pete's thing? Because
no,
a lot of people hate that.
Yeah,
I think they're kind of related.
No.
Just general college committees, then you win by a landslide.
How about committees everywhere?
Take out college.
No
and you
ever win. Liked the committee.
Hate committees.
Honestly, even committees I've been on, I've hated. No one likes a meeting. All right, so there you go. That is your great debate for this Wednesday, the greatest college basketball villains of all time.
Are we going to put out a poll? Because I feel like Pete's cheating. He's going to win this
He's
one.
He's going to win this one. Shohei Ohtani up to bat, by the way, and grounding out.
Stretch it into him. He was going to stretch it into an inside the park home run.
The reason why we're talking about this is because Pete Bilotti currently has $20 riding on whether or not Shohei Ohtani will homer in this game, which is the opening day is basically happening in South Korea. So we're kind of doing two things on the show right now. We're monitoring Pete's Shohei Ohtani bet, and we're also doing the great debate.
He's a bust.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question. I'm going to get a little controversial here.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
If you expand this out past a men's tournament, is is there somebody in college, women's college basketball, that might be a better villain?
Angel Reese, I think.
Angel Reese. Or Caitlin Clark to some people. But, I mean, Angel Reese, she kind of embraced that sort of, I don't know. Did she or did she? I can't tell.
I mean, she's an irritant.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, she's a great player. She's not just an irritant, but she's an irritant.
You kind of have to be a great player to make this list. You can't be some scrub and be on this list. I mean, we're talking about all-time players.
If we also could extend out to coaches, I think we would have gotten some villains there, too. Because I think that to some people, I think Kim Mulkey is a little bit, you know, wears the black hat. I think
she's
Gino Auriemma, wears the black hat. So Rick Pitino, of course.
Coach K.
Coach K.
Coach K would have won. I mean, Duke alone.
Basically, we have three Duke players in the committee on this team. It was hard because, you know, you want to go to some of the others to go away from Duke, right? Like I said, Tyler Hansbrough is one. Marshall Henderson was one. We have these famous guys who were villains, but how do you compare them to Duke? Duke is like the gold standard of villains in college basketball.
My fandom has always been defined by who plays well against Duke. That is the players I love because I hated Duke growing up. Why is Psycho T Tyler Hansbrough on this list? I don't, and he's on a lot of lists. Yeah. Why do people hate Tyler Hansbrough?
Oh, he was also an awesome player, but he was like all elbows and knees. Like, you know, like no one wants to see a guy succeed like that. That's why. I think it was like, he's not even Zach Edey tall. He's 7'4". He's like 6'8" and just like throwing his body around. He's
bit
like
dirty.
A guy at the YMCA that's just playing a little too hard.
He's a tryhard.
You're asking why a guy whose nickname is Psycho T might be a villain in college.
But I mean, at the end of the day, you're right. He played like that, but he seemed like a very nice guy.
Well, this is nothing new with personal.
Well, no, Leitner was not a nice guy.
Well, and Leitner, you know, admits now that he made some mistakes. Absolutely. But no, but again, we want to do this as sports villain.
Right. But Leitner crossed. Yeah,
no,
but you become a sports villain by going to a press conference and saying mean things about your opponents, too. So, yeah, Tyler Hansbrough, I feel like he was just awkward.
Eric Devendorf is another guy who seemed to irritate a lot of people from Syracuse. Jumping up on scorers' tables and stuff like that.
Yeah. he was kind of him and Marshall Henderson were kind of wild men. It wasn't necessarily how good they were; it was just how brash they were. Got people under people's skin. I think the people that are interesting because I think they're polarizing because they were super popular but also hated by a lot of the country are members of the Fab Five: Chris Webber, Jalen Rose. I think those UNLV teams: Larry Johnson, Gold T. Part in the middle, like that was for a lot of America, that was very different than what they had been seeing. Patrick Ewing in the 80s, like, and a lot of that had nothing to do with anything he was doing.
That was gonna say it felt like that was more crossed over into just sort of more blatant racism than it was about, you know, what we're talking about. And it's funny about the Fab Five, it's a great one to bring up because as someone who was young when the Fab Five came up, it was all how great they were. It was very rare, I thought, to see detractors. It's only now as I'm an adult that I saw how they rubbed people the wrong way, which I don't even, you know, that was more of like a pop culture
kind of
thing.
It's like when you're young, you're a part of counterculture. So like it's what everyone's doing. It's new, it's fresh, it's hot. Like it's more relevant. I think when you think about older fans, they're not part of younger culture. Like I'm even 32 and I see young things happening. I'm like, I don't know why the kids are all wearing short shorts still. I still can't get past that. Like when I played, you were wearing shorts below your knees and now these guys are wearing shorts up their thighs. Like it's what's new now.
But you have to Fab Five though, I think they were wildly popular too. So I don't think there's any point where J.J. Redick was like the Fab Five. I mean, Fab Five is probably the most popular team we've ever had. Did you see the documentary? It was like a rolling circus.
Well, half the documentary of that Fab Five was also Jalen Rose being in a crack house. And like, there was some imagery about those guys. And again, a lot of it not anything to do with them, but there was some imagery that bothered people.
They sold a lot of merch, though. They kind of transformed.
Oh, sure.
They were very, very popular.
Is there something, too, about, I think there were a lot of casual fans that loved the Fab Five. Casual fans do like Duke? I find the casual fan generally dislikes Duke. It's only the Dukies that love Duke.
Also, I think Webber was popular in a way that was different than those guys. I think
Number Jalen one high school player.
Yeah, he was super, he was different. But regardless, I don't know any casual Duke fans. Either if you're neutral, you kind of hate Duke, right?
Like, I know a lot of casual Notre Dame fans. I don't know if I know a lot of casual Duke fans. In the chat, getting some fun ones. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio, twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio. The great debate question today is the greatest college basketball villains of all time. And obviously, a lot of Duke on this list. I picked Christian Laettner, Perloff picked Grayson Allen, EJ picked J.J. Redick, and Pete went with just the committee. The committee is the big villain who selects the 64 teams. Dilbo's in the chat says Temple coach John Chaney threatened John Calipari in the postgame news conference. I thought John Chaney became kind of a folk hero for that.
I think it's 90-10 like Chaney. Everyone, I mean, I think, oh my God, I thought Chaney was cool after that. I'm from Philly and I was there when that happened. But one thing about Duke, too, you could be the nicest guy in the world and people will hate you. Trajan Langdon. What did Trajan Langdon ever do to everyone? You ever seen the signs when that guy was playing? They hated him. And he was like Mr. Little Alaskan guy.
I think there are probably three players in the history of Duke basketball that transcended the hate.
Yeah, I know who you're
saying.
Grant Hill, Elton Brand, Zion Williamson.
Yeah, Jason Tatum, too. Okay, nobody hated Tatum.
Elton Brand, Jason Tatum, and Zion Williamson were only one and dones.
Yeah, Tatum didn't even raise. He wasn't as big a star as the ones you just mentioned. But
yeah, that's why I didn't put him in there.
Yeah,
but nobody hated him. How are you going to hate Nolan Smith?
He was a little neutral.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Corey Maggette was well-liked. He was Corey Maggette was the first Duke player who could fly. I mean, he was like a dunk machine, which is unlike Duke.
It'd be funny if now next week we do the most loved Duke players.
It's a very short list.
The greatest villains in college basketball is our great debate. And
You know who people loved? They loved Kyrie, who is now quite polarizing. Kyrie was popular at Duke. I don't remember him. He didn't get that Duke hate. Yeah, but nobody was like, J.J. Redick. They hated J.J. Redick from the second he stepped on that court.
Well, Kyrie only played 11 games in college.
Right, but he was I remember him being a kind of a phenom. Everyone wanted to see him play in those 11 games until he got hurt.
And to Perloff's point, I think the one-and-done guys, I haven't been immune because Zion Williamson was loved, but you know who wasn't? R.J. Barrett, who was right on his team because they said he was Maple Mamba and he was overrated. He was not the way he played also just wasn't. He was kind of a ball hog. Like, he was not someone that was liked. Also, I was thinking of someone else who just came in my head and not popped out.
Cam Reddish?
No. Someone super new. It'll come back to me. But there have been one-and-done guys who have went there and people have been like,
Okafor? I think people liked Okafor.
Yeah, I don't think people had a problem. I don't remember an R.J. Barrett big problem. I remember Zion was sucking up all the wind.
So many people were like, R.J. Barrett's hogging the ball. It was like Zion Williamson should be getting more shots. Like, and I swear this is not a Knicks thing because they were saying this before he even got to be a Knick. It was, and I do a lot of draft work. He was a high school phenom who everyone thought was going to be next Kobe Bryant coming out of Canada. Like, he came with a lot of expectations, and then he also got a lot of hate as well. Oh, Austin Rivers. Sorry. That was a guy who also was very hated at Duke. Yeah. He was another trash talker, who got under people's skin. So okay. They have been
Wojo,
immune to the one. Well,
Wojo's all-time, slapping the floor on defense. Everyone hated that.
Yeah.
Steve Wojciechowski and, obviously, Shire, I think, was polarizing.
Yeah. Austin Rivers, I think there's been another thing with him. He's a great player at Duke, and didn't he get a huge game winner for them?
North Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, so he's a great player, but I think there's also like the coach's son aspect to it.
He had a different thing going on. Did he win a title? Sorry.
No.
I think so.
Got to
double check.
I don't think so. No.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. David in the chat said Sheldon Williams was well-liked.
Fair. That's true.
What, really? The landlord?
He was fine.
Like the landlord.
I don't think you had strong feelings one way or another.
JJ Redick. I don't think anybody liked anybody in those Duke teams.
It's possible. 855-212-4CBS. Okay, today, great debate. It is the greatest college basketball villains of all time. You can go and vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl, and we would love to hear from you. Again, 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, lots more to do, including a little news about one hated Duke player. We'll get to that next. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Great debate today. Biggest villain in college basketball history. Taking calls 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Does anyone have any non-Duke players to call in with? That'd be helpful too to expand our list. We all went Blue Devil. There's a reason they are the Blue Devils. To me, Maggie had Christian Laettner. EJ had J.J. Redick. To me, Grayson Allen is the ultimate bad guy. I mean, he's Grayson Allen. Just picture the face right now and tell me you don't get angry. Although he's been pretty well-behaved in the pros. Good player.
Well, I think he kind of had to be, right? Or else your career is going to be gone. He's a champion, too, right? He was on that Bucks championship squad, wasn't he? I believe so. 855-212-4CBS. Now, we were just doing players. And then Pete went outside the box, as he often does. Right. And one of the reasons why we love him, he said the villain of college basketball is the committee. Ooh. Didn't think about that. So now we've gone a little more outside the box and we've said, all right, you can go to the women's side. You can go to coaches. We can open this up to a lot of different characters in college basketball. And that's where we find Dana in California, who's got a great one. Good morning, Dana.
Hi, guys. Love your show. It's my favorite sports show of all. It keeps me company on my way to work every morning. For me, the greatest all-time college basketball villain would have to be Bobby Knight.
It's a great one.
I mean, the guy choked out another kid, threw chairs, threw tantrums. I think that trumps just about everything as far as I'm concerned.
You know, Danny, you're so right. And when we were kicking around this idea, and appreciate the call, we thought about, should we do coaches? We thought Bobby Knight would be such a landslide.
Yeah. Unless you had Coach K, who's, of course, a Bobby Knight clone in many ways. But Bobby Knight almost gets his own category. I feel like it's unfair to put other people in with him because he did more negative stuff than any coach ever. And he's also one of the great coaches in the history of all sports.
No doubt. I mean, this great debate category should be named the Bobby Knight, you know, great debate for today. Who is the biggest college villain, college basketball villain?
I feel like people are Bobby Knight. Other coaches want to be him. Like the other Grayson Allen and J.J. Redick, and even later, were not quite as successful as Bobby Knight. I guess later was.
Yeah, later.
Later was maybe
definitely.
Our guys,
four straight Final Four.
JJ and Grayson were not.
No, definitely not.
Rich is in Chicago. Hey, Rich.
Hey, I've got one for you guys.
Yeah.
And it's a team category. This is going to blow away Perloff about hating Duke. How about this? The most hated team playing the most beloved Duke team, the 91 Nevada Las Vegas Rebels in the semifinals when they had Ogden and Larry Johnson and Tarkanian, and Duke had all the good guys, and they upset Duke. Yep. I was at the game. Duke upset them. And there's nobody. I mean, it's the only team in the country where the players were older than the coach. these guys are like 31 when they were playing for Tarkanian. I don't know anybody that liked Nevada Las Vegas.
Greg Anthony was also on that team.
They had an evil empire feel. Right. Yes. Like they were like the Yankees, like, oh, this team is just too good. That's the cockiest team in the history of sports. I love those players now, but you're right. They were hated because they were so arrogant.
Yeah. Perloff did, but everybody was in love with Duke to kick their butt.
Yeah. But then when did later step on the dude? Because that's when
Kentucky.
All changed.
That was 92.
So you're right. They beat UNLV and everyone loved them and they loved Bobby Hurley. And then it all changed.
Well, and this is what happens in sports. We love you on the rise.
Yes.
And then once you're really good and established, then all of a sudden now, you know, the backlash. Like, look what happened with the Chiefs.
You die a hero a little long enough to see yourself become the villain, the Dark Knight.
Rich, thank you so much for that one.
Yeah. And by the way, Stacey Augmon didn't fit in that team at all. Stacey Augmon was just all... You know, all defense, team first. The other guys were basically in a hot tub. I mean, Ogden might have been in a hot tub, too. That's my favorite college basketball.
Well, the cheating associated with it also makes them more villainous. Although, you know, listen, guys taking money in college basketball was not rare.
I still can't believe they lost to Duke. That was my favorite team.
I like that team.
Me and all my friends were like, oh, my God, Larry Johnson is unbelievable.
Again, it's like a youth thing. I think like a lot of the young people, I know a lot of black folks for sure, they loved watching UNLV.
They were very popular.
The crap out of Duke, like for sure. Like but again, for a lot of older folks, it's very different seeing that squad with that kind of swagger, with that kind of physicality. Like they need a 30 for 30. Like I'm surprised, and I don't know if maybe because
I think they might have. I feel like I've seen some documentary stuff on them.
I can't think of what it was. They've done one on Arkansas. They obviously did the I Hate Christian Laettner. I need the UNLV doc because there was some arrests happening. I got a hot tub. That's one of the best stories in college basketball history that kind of gets a little forgotten in part because I think they kind of want people to forget about what UNLV was. But
HBO had a big
crazy.
One.
You know, HBO didn't want
to. Yeah, I mean that team was too iconic. They had to. But they bring another one because I don't think a lot of kids know about that team. Because you say they were good, but at the time, they were beyond good.
And this is what we talk about. Can you tell the story of college basketball without these certain teams and these certain villains? And the ones that we mentioned from Duke, UNLV for sure, Bobby Knight for sure. All of these, they stand out. And actually, this brings me back to my original Zach Edey point, which is a two-time unanimous All-American. And, I mean, unless he does something really big in the tournament, I think he's going to be forgotten. Anyway, he's not a villain, though. Dexter Henry is here with headlines. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not going to be a villain with these headlines here.
You could never, Dexter.
I will not do that. Let's start off in the association. Last night, Zion Williamson, he brought his high-flying act, to Brooklyn.
Ball stolen away by Najee Marshall. He took it away from Thomas. Throws a lob for Zion and a two-hand slam. Wow. A steal and a transition lob to Zion Williamson, who was flying in.
That's Chris Carino on the call on WFAN. Williamson, he wowed the crowd at the Barclays Center, threw down two of his game-high 28 points. Pelicans, they won for the seventh time in eight games, clinched their second straight winning season. They bounced the Nets 104-91.
So there's a report yesterday. Brian Windhorst, ESPN, said he lost 25 pounds since their embarrassing in-season tournament loss. That's a big deal.
Ozempic? I'm just kidding.
No. Honestly, I think there's a great chance. I mean,
I don't know if professional athletes can use that. It feels like more like a Hollywood thing, right?
Well, didn't Oprah come out the other day?
Yeah, like a Hollywood thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Why not? Because Zion, the key for him to stay healthy is to keep the weight off. I think Ozempic would be in play.
Interesting.
There's nothing wrong with it, unless it's something dangerous if you're an athlete.
No, I just don't think we know a lot about the long-term effects of these kinds of drugs. Listen, if it helps you, it's great. I'm not. You want to be healthy. This is not a thing about Ozempic, but for a professional athlete,
I think it'd be a good idea.
Well,
I think Joel Embiid, I'd give some Joel Embiid some of that.
He's at a crossroad. Are you saying Joel needs it?
Oh,
he's so young.
Big time.
You can change your life. Zion Williamson, don't you think he could just change his diet and lifestyle and he could probably have lost the weight? No?
Well, yeah, but some athletes.
It's hard.
Why do some athletes have trouble doing that? Then you say, you know, there's a lot of athletes like that. Food is complicated.
No, I get it. Everyone's got their own relationship with food.
I think Zion's also had an issue with, he keeps getting hurt. And that also helps him hurts him I guess in gaining the weight because when you're not able to run, you're not able to work out as much, and you're sitting around a lot, you know, that's what happens to everybody.
Sure.
And I think that's been the fact that he's been healthy for most of the season, been playing. I think that also probably helped him a lot as well.
This idea of giving athletes Ozempic. I bet you it's a thing. I mean, listen, they'll put anything that'll help.
Yeah.
What's the downside? I mean, Zion, he last night was spectacular. You should have seen my reaction when he had that dunk. You can't even tell on the radio. He literally flew for about 3 seconds.
He got so high. And you can see he's lost weight. If you look at his face, you can see the weight loss with him. You can definitely see it right
how,
now.
How so. Dangerous are the Pelicans? I'm starting to get worried. I know I kind of wrote them off earlier this year on the show, but
they're very young still. So I think that it's the same thing. The whole NBA is right. The old guys, Mike and I have the old guys, the Lakers and the Warriors. And then there's all these young teams that no one knows in the playoffs.
They do have one guy who has some playoff experience in CJ McCollum, who was going to be a trivia question before Mackie got in the break.
Sorry.
He beat Austin Rivers' Duke team in the first round. But he's been in the playoff wars. He's taken the team to Western Conference Finals. Is he enough to maybe overcome the youth on that team? That's a big question, I think.
Well, didn't they have the big seven game? They took the Phoenix Suns
Phoenix
to a game
Suns
seven,
to,
right?
Yeah, it was six. But it was an extremely competitive series. They could have won seven.
They have these great Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, these great wing defenders, which is the
Willie
buzzword.
Green's a good coach.
That one I don't know. Okay. I don't. Why are they putting Zion a point guard? That I have not
because they don't have a point guard, which is I think is a whole issue. But we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But I mean, CJ McCollum is the quote unquote point guard. And they never got a true floor general.
Yeah, he doesn't. CJ likes to play off the ball.
Yeah,
he does. Zion's been playing well with the ball in his hand, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I was just taking a look quickly at the rest of the Pelicans roster. They do feature a Zeller. Do any of the Zellers make it onto our college basketball villains? This one is Cody. They're all the same.
I don't think they antagonized enough.
I feel like Tyler was more of a villain because I think North Carolina was better than Indiana, and he was not as good as Cody. I think the fact that Tyler was more of a goon in college basketball.
But he could have been on this list, but that's our great debate question for today, the greatest college basketball villains of all times. I think a Zeller brother could make it
up. And ironically, Cody is taken after his brother once he got to the NBA because now Cody Zeller is a massive goon in the NBA.
Yeah, right.
All he does is he must have injured four Knicks in that last playoff series they had against the Heat. He just goes and throws his body around for 10, 15 minutes a night.
Which one is the really bald one?
That's Cody.
Cody.
Who was a superstar recruit coming out of high school and was a top player as a freshman. He was number four pick in the draft. People thought he was going to be a star.
I'm sure he would love that description of him that you just said. Right. Who's the bald one? The very bald one.
Doesn't one of them do the one-handed free throw thing, too?
That's Cody. I think that's him.
Yeah, yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah the one-handed free throw trend is
I think
is
he's
wild.
The last one left.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, can we just say what's happening here? Why are we putting all white guys on this college basketball villain list? What's going on there? The Zellers?
Yeah.
Was there anything except them that to hate, except that they're white?
No, it was the way they played.
That too.
Yeah,
and the school they were playing for.
Well, Indiana, Duke.
Yeah, that all adds in.
Yeah, no, totally. It's at the end of the day, it's Duke. It's Duke, and Duke.
No, because I thought Tyler Hansbrough could have been on the list. And Marshall Henderson could have been
if
on the list.
If Tyler Hansbrough went to Duke, can you imagine how much more he would have been hated?
Oh, I agree. He would have been hated more. No doubt about that. He'd have been hated more. He would have definitely been hated more. All right, also in the Alamo City, Kyrie Irving, he poured in a game-high 28 points on a night where Luka Doncic shot 6-27 from the field. The Mavs, they stopped the Spurs 113-107. The Mavs head coach Jason Kidd, he liked how his team actually played some defense on Tuesday night.
San Antonio is a team that puts a lot of pressure on your defense. I thought the guys did a really good job on Victor and Vassell. But, again, we're getting great looks. Luka got a lot of great looks tonight, just didn't fall for him.
And moving on with NBA news, according to current Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor, former baseball star Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry have lost the financial backing of the Carlisle Group with one payment left to claim majority ownership of the T-Wolves. Taylor says that Rodriguez and Lowry will need to now find a new way to raise money for the final installment, which is due, guys, on March 27th. So the clock is ticking.
Wow. Right, so you're trying to find somewhere north of $400 million in about a week?
The Carlisle Investment Group had $300 million that they were giving to them. And so, yeah, they've got to get about that within less than a week.
Hey, Raj, you go on TikTok.
Okay. Who do you call when you need $400 million? I started GoFundMe for Alex Rodriguez and the guy who was like created Walmart.com or something.
I mean, I don't know if other ownership transactions have happened this way. It feels like this transaction.
Very sloppy.
Sloppy, tenuous. It feels like people shouldn't be able to buy a sports franchise like this.
On layaway.
Yeah, with the, we're going to give you these payments over the course of two. I feel like A-Rod's been the owner of the Timberwolves for like, since the pandemic, it feels like. How is this not done yet?
Honestly,
is he not giving them the money yet?
The weirder thing about this is the other guy, Mark Lohr, I think, right. Or Lowry, however you pronounce it. So do you know about this dude?
No.
So he was like, I said he created Walmart.com. Obviously, the Waltons created Walmart, but he was something behind the grocery delivery online. He got really, really rich about that. And he now wants to create a utopian society like in the middle of nowhere and like start from scratch. This is like billionaires are freaking weird, guys. Mm. They lose touch with reality. Anyway, he wants to like create not like a Burning Man situation, but like some weird kind of start over utopian society somewhere. No thanks. Right. Definitely not with this guy and A-Rod. No shot.
Yeah, is he running things in this utopian society?
Why
not? Because he's got the money. I think
the ego, clearly.
Yeah, there you go.
Larry Ellison, the Oracle guy, has an island that has this giant building that's all run by robots. He has a robot island, which is similar to...
Sounds like the start of a scary movie.
Well, it sounds like when everything goes badly that these guys are going to go to their islands and be safe, right?
No, Larry Ellison will most likely perish at the hands of one of his robots.
Yes.
Isn't that the way this ends?
I think that's likely.
But in this scenario, everyone else in the world is dead because of nuclear war, but he has a bunker on his robot island that he's living off technology. And it might be,
I might completely
have the wrong billionaire, by the way.
Oh, maybe we should fact check that. I still think the robots would equal his demise. You're going to surround yourself in a robot island. What do you think's going to happen? You're getting microwave Pop-Tarts the whole time? No shot.
Robot's going to say, we're sick of this.
Yeah, they're going to become self-aware.
You guys aren't... if I offered you a robot butler, you would say no?
No, it's not an 80s sitcom.
No, I don't trust. I don't trust that.
Not with AI today. No.
I trust... Yeah, I watched too much Terminator.
You're going to have a robot butler come waking you up in the morning. What, are they going to shave you like with a straight razor and then...
Unless it's Rocky's robot. That's it.
That was a good robot. Have
you guys ever seen the movie Ex Machina? There was a robot... who was also friendly in the bedroom. Maybe Peopleati can interest you in that.
Oh, God.
But how did that movie,
I don't know if Peopleati's wife was like that.
He definitely, the billionaire died.
Yeah, there you go.
The billionaire usually dies. We go to a restaurant, a Japanese restaurant in my neighborhood called Dimmer and Summer, and there's a robot waitress.
How does that work out?
It's fine. There's not even the inkling that they're going to kill us at any point.
Just wait.
A robot comes out with the dumplings, and it's cute.
See, I don't like that. It takes regular people out of work.
Well, there's also a regular waitress.
Oh, okay,
the robot doesn't take... That's why also I don't feel threatened for my life. There's a lot of safeguards. There's a guy with a machine gun in the corner. Just a robot.
Holding on the plug to
the college student making... $550 an hour is going to save you from the robot? Like,
man, it'll be out the back door.
I want to be clear. I am also afraid of the robot revolution.
Okay.
I'm with you guys.
Well, it sounded like you wanted to go to Robot Island and hang out.
If you guys want to hide from the robots, I'm leading that charge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we going to hide?
I'm not sure.
That other guy's Utopia Island. Say, can we hang out here? Nope. Afraid not.
And we can't even watch Timberwolves highlights anymore because he's probably going to lose the team.
There you go. Options are not good.
I thought we were going to be able to hang out there with Anthony Edwards, and it looks like that's a no-go, too.
No.
You guys saw Anthony Edwards dunk the other night, by the way.
Yes, that was crazy.
Which Peter Schwartz somehow didn't have any updates
yesterday.
Yes. Could not believe
that. Was that a surprise to you?
So, by the way, we were waiting for it. He dislocated his finger. They played last night, right? Was he okay?
He was okay. He scored 30.
It was funny. Everyone was talking about the dunk, but he definitely dislocated his finger on the dunk. And nobody was talking about it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Still worth it.
That kind of dunk. The big celebration you usually have after dunk because he was grabbing his finger.
Yeah.
He's like, I think it's broken or something. Yeah.
Dunk of the year for sure.
Sorry, audience. You didn't get to hear the great dunk yesterday.
That's disappointing.
I thought the same thing after the show. I saw everybody was talking about Anthony Edwards' dunk. I'm like, you know, it's funny. We didn't hit that in the... But you did do the Zion dunk last night, which kind of knocked it out of the news.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Had to be on top of that.
Because, listen, they wanted a robot update guy, and I said no. The last thing we want to do is be running down the hall because we made too much fun of the robot update guy. And
it almost came to Maggie's point. It didn't put me out of work.
So yeah, totally.
Honestly, it almost came to that. We couldn't find anybody for a while.
Got close.
Yeah. AI update. No, thank you. No, not in this show. You.
And last night, the Jazz beat the Timberwolves 102-98.
And by the way, Ohtani just RBI single into shallow center field, but that is not a home run.
Right.
Dodgers are up 5-2, top of the eighth inning. That could have been his last at bat.
Sorry,
and
Pete.
Pete Bellotti
and
he starts dancing,
too. Give me a break.
Had a $20 bet that Ohtani was going to hit a home run in this game.
Starts dancing. You're going to be 1-0. All right, relax.
Well, here's the thing. You still have a lot of time for the Padres to tie this up and to get yourself into extras.
That's true. Positive vibes. There you go.
However, extra innings are now much shorter because of the man on second rule, but still.
That stupid rule is still around.
I like it.
They even use that rule overseas in games that mysteriously count.
By the way, you guys
are just going to let my robot impersonation go by without making fun of me for a dad joke, Maggie? What's happening? It didn't even raise to that level?
Which is why I didn't make fun of it.
Okay.
It was funny.
Sounded like a robot.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry, do it again.
The Utah Jazz beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 102-98. I speak fluent nerd, just so we're all clear about this.
It's not like Russell Kane in 1998. I kind
of
like
it. Yeah, it feels like Revenge of the Nerds 4 right there.
That's what we should do if we can't find an anchor one day. You do the robot.
The robot? Okay.
I was thinking the AI is so good right now, we're not even speaking to you. Perloff and I have the day off. This has all been an AI-generated show.
That's not funny. Do not give any bosses any ideas, Maggie.
Perloff and I are actually in South Korea watching this Dodgers-Padres.
You just think that they're here. All right, we're going to wrap with some NFL news. On Tuesday, the Cleveland Browns, they announced the signing of newly acquired wide receiver Jerry Jeudy to a three-year extension. The deal is worth $58 million, including $11 million guaranteed at signing.
The Browns signed Jerry Jeudy. What the heck is that about?
All of a sudden, the robot just starts to smoke every time you start talking about the Browns.
Danger is here. Last thing, guys. Travis Kelce. He could have himself a new gig. The Chiefs tight end is reportedly in talks to become a game show host in the near future. According to Variety, the Kansas City Chiefs star, Prime Video reps, they are working to hammer out a deal that would make the three-time Super Bowl champion the face of this show. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Reboot coming.
This isn't
guaranteed to happen, guys. Reportedly, there's at least some concern by executives that Kelce wouldn't be able to do the gig properly if he continued his NFL career. So I got two questions for you. One, are you intrigued by this? And two, should Kelce hang it up and move into becoming a game show host?
Like what? I feel like Jason Kelce could host it until Travis retires.
He could hold it down.
Maybe do it a combo.
I'm sorry. Is this a heavy lift to be hosting Are You Smarter Than
them,
a Fifth Grader?
Yes.
That in an off season he can't do this? This is not exactly, you know, doing a Taylor Swift tour.
Are you smarter than a preschooler?
When DP took over Sports Jeopardy, he... 27 days. Alex Trebek did like 29 days a year.
Yeah.
They do six shows in a day. It's super easy. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He could do this.
Of course he could do it. And here's the question, though. Now you're dating Taylor. They're probably getting married.
Probably. Well,
she's married a game show host? She signed up for a Hall of Fame tight end, and now you're getting game show host. That's a little bit of a bait and switch.
No, come on. There's nothing wrong with being a game show host. Michael Strahan's a game show host, and he's beloved.
No, you can be beloved.
He could pull a Taylor Swift back in the day.
No, this would be like if Travis Kelce, you know, got with Taylor Swift and then shaved his beard.
I think
you can't do that.
I thought Pete was going to say is the question, is he smarter than a fifth grader?
Exactly. Then we find it out, then the show ends.
It goes in tears.
I think you need your host to actually be smarter. No, Travis is smart. That's mean.
Listen, he's played this thing perfectly, so he's definitely smart.
He's moving in the right direction with things. I don't see why he couldn't do it.
Actually, Jason can't fill in for him because you need to wear a shirt to host this show.
Well, around children, you should probably have a shirt definitely. On.
That might be a prerequisite.
Yeah. Yes. Dexter, get you on a list somewhere. Dexter, thank you so much.
No problem.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Big question about one of the draft prospects. We got pro days today. We'll get that to you next. It's Maggie and Perla.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. On Wednesdays, we do the great debate. Today, we're doing the greatest college basketball villains. Three of us on the show went with a former Duke player. Pete Bellotti went outside the box and said just the committee, which extended to just committees in general.
Damn right.
We hate red tape around here.
Oh. We got to put that up as a poll because I think Pete's going to win. Who would not vote against a committee?
I said Christian Laettner. Perloff went with Grayson Allen, and EJ went with J.J. Redick. Mike is in Syracuse, has a college basketball villain for us. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Growing up in Syracuse in the heart of the Big East in the 80s, it was Michael Graham, swingman for Georgetown. So when you were saying that Patrick Ewing was, you know, semi-beloved, it was because Graham was also on that team. The original bald-headed hatchet man.
Well, Mike, and thank you. The one thing about those criticisms, though, and going back to Michael Graham and the famous moment against Dayton, where he pushes another player, Cedric Toney, who falls, and Graham ended up getting a foul off of it, and Billy Packer at the time says this is where Georgetown gets accused of being thugs, and it felt like that's just an overtly sort of racist kind of characterization because the foul did not warrant that type of critique. But, you know, they were also physical players. Mm-hmm. But thug comes with a lot of different, that's a coded language.
I remember Graham was stood out because he was bald. I just remember, like, why is that? Nobody shaved their head like that before him, as I recall, as a little kid. I think that's one of the reasons everyone knew who he was because, and he definitely, as I recall, he was totally the enforcer on that team. He was like a Draymond type. Remember, you know who I liked, who was a tough player like that? Remember Junkyard Dog, Jerome Williams? Also Georgetown. They played, I think, as I recall, someone similar. I don't totally remember Michael Graham, but that Georgetown team, They were, by the way, Georgetown leaned into it. They like to intimidate people. They wanted
no
to
doubt.
Scare the other team. You didn't think you'd get a shot off against that team because they were so, Ewing blocked everything. So I totally understand
what
you're saying.
Yeah, Alonzo Mourning was a really intimidating player in college. More beloved, I think, but also intimidating.
And John Thompson was unbelievably intimidating.
Of course.
He was bigger than every other coach, had that deep voice. So I think they sort of played into that a little bit. You're absolutely right. There was obviously undertones, but they were a legitimately intimidating team.
For John Thompson, I mean, people leaving racist things on his front lawn.
Yeah, I mean,
there was a whole other part of that that was, you know, part of the story.
I think the Graham thing, why he's a little more infamous, I think, as a villain was, I mean, he got essentially thrown off the team. Like, he played 1 year, was a freshman, and was suspended, and then had to go to play D2. And we didn't see him again until he was in the NBA for a hot minute with the Seattle Sonics. It was like, wow, this guy, he was almost too rough and tough for even this, the toughest team in college basketball.
We can put this up on the poll, Maggie and Perloff, greatest basketball, college basketball villains. We didn't extend it to coaches or anything like that, but you're welcome, or the women's side, but you're welcome to take it in whatever direction you want to take it. We also have up on our social media right now, the voting is open, Perloff, for the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonders March Madness bracket. We are in the cruising, excuse me, last call. Did I say cruising? We're in the last call. No, we're in cruising. We're in cruising. We're in the cruising region right now. Last call was yesterday, where number one seed Take On Me by A-ha is right now in a dogfight against 16-seeded I Just Died in Your Arms.
Wow.
Guys, got to go vote here. The Maggie and Perloff bracket of one-hit wonders. Coming up, more NFL stars on the move. Got the latest for you next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.